King, you have summoned me. What is it?
Take this here vibranium to the brother Miles as a gift from the people of Wakanda. Go and bring him the vibranium mic. He will use it wisely.
Who are you? You don't know. Don't tell me Negro. That's absolutely nothing. What did you do before you were named a Negro? And where were you? And what did you have there? Ask Professor Maurice Miles Martinez, MC Brother Miles, and he'll tell you like it really is. You can shackle the hands of black people, you can jail the bodies of black people, but you cannot shackle or jail the minds of black people. Rise up, black man, black woman, and reach to go back to Africa.
My father was a Garveyite, thus Marcus Garvey can be thought of as my grandfather. But when you say, I've read in Dr. Ben's book, or I've read in Dr. Ivan Van Sertima's book, or I've read in Professor Maurice Miles Martinez's book, they say, don't speak that information in here. Brothers and sisters, speak your truth to the world.
Brother Miles, the black man's truth is here.
The real Wakandas of Africa podcast.
History is a clock that people use to tell their political, economic, and cultural time of day. Brother Miles, the relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
Free at last and proud to be black. One day Miles will be free at last.
Hey, Brother Miles, that was really great, man. I'm impressed.
Welcome to the Real Wakandas of Africa podcast, the place where black history, hip-hop, and spoken word come together. I'm your host, Maurice Miles Martinez, also known as MC Brother Miles. At the end of each podcast, we have an original spoken word poetry or hip-hop track by myself. So, over the last three episodes, this being the third, we have actually discussed the question of, do black people really score lower on standardized tests? If you haven't listened to the other two episodes this week, go back and listen to those first, and then listen to this episode. So in the last episode, episode two of this three-part series, which was 49 in terms of the yearly episode, and this one here is 50, we left off with the typical ways that standardized tests are biased. But what about when Africans score higher on standardized tests? Of course, as we mentioned last week, there are standardized tests that have specific culturally biased questions. And if they're written to be biased against Africans and or African Americans or people from the Caribbean of African descent, then Europeans would typically score higher than would Africans or African Americans or anyone else in the African diaspora, which is the case with many standardized tests as well as intelligence tests. They were normed on Europeans. They were normed with European ideas. However, if they were written to be biased against Europeans, by the way, this rarely happens, except in examples that are put forth by African people to specifically illustrate bias. In other words, tests that are biased towards African Americans and toward African American culture are not administered to Europeans in the real world because African Americans would score higher on them. And black people are not in charge overwhelmingly of the testing establishment. However, all of that aside, how do we then explain the phenomenon when intelligence tests that were written by Europeans and were normed and standardized on Europeans and then are given to Africans and African Americans, and those African Americans and Africans who take those tests score higher than their European counterparts? To repeat, how do we explain the phenomenon when these intelligence tests that were written for and by Europeans and then we're standardized on Europeans, how do we explain the fact that African Americans and Africans score higher on those tests? And this is the hidden information that you don't want to miss. This is the hidden information that they don't want you to know. So there are a number of studies that support the idea that Africans and African Americans score higher on some European standardized tests. Dr. Amos Wilson wrote a book called Awakening the Natural Genius in Black Children. And he pointed to a study where Marcel Gerber administered a European American standardized test to African infants in the mid-1950s called the Giselle Tests for Early Intelligence. And she was there ultimately on the African continent to determine the effects of malnutrition on African children. But what she found was much more shocking. The Giselle test is basically an intelligence test that was created at Yale University. And it was standardized on European American children. And she found that African infants surpassed the average European scores for measures of intelligence. Gerber went on to note that from an early age, African infants were able to sit up on their own, were crawling, and were able to stare at themselves in a mirror for a good amount of time. In European American infants, this was not expected until they were 24 weeks old or 6 months old. And think about this. These African children were doing this not at 6 months of age, but at 6 to 7 weeks of age. Now, she also found that these Ugandan infants were able to both walk at 6 to 7 months of age, and they understood the concept of object permanency. Now, object permanency is when a child can understand that an object does not go away just because it's hidden out of sight behind something like a curtain or a box. So if the object is shown to a child and then hidden, the child knows that it still exists, that it's a permanent object in the world. When these Ugandan infants were shown a toy and it was placed in a box across the room, the African infants stood up and ran across the room to grab the toy out of the box, and they were only 6 to 7 months of age. The European American infant was not expected to have this understanding until 15 to 18 months of age. Similarly, in a follow-up study conducted in the 1970s in Kenya among the Gikuyu, these Gikuyu infants scored higher on both physical and mental scales of the Bailey scales of infant development. While the average score for European American infants was 100 on both mental and motor tests, the average score of these Kenyan infants was 108 for the mental portion of the test and 129 for the motor portion of the test. The test contains both motor scale and mental scale items. They scored higher than the standardized test score of 100 on a total of 38 mental scale items and on 20 of the motor scale items. This shows that intelligence is more a matter of environment than it is of genetics. So, on these tests, there were a few items that the infants were not familiar with. In other words, there were objects and tasks that the African infant would have never been shown because of cultural differences. The researchers believed that this accounted for their lower scores on these items. Still, when compared to the 38 mental scale items that they scored high on, only on 7 of them did they score lower. When one compares the 20 motor scale items that they scored higher on to the 2 items that they scored low on, the results are stunning. Not only that, but the Kenyan and Ugandan infants scored higher at every month than their British and American counterparts from birth through 15 months of age. Moreover, right after birth, Kenyan and Ugandan infants also showed stunning advancement. It is normal for infants to be able to continuously smile between 6 and 12 weeks of age. Gerber observed the Kenyan and Ugandan infants smiling continuously at 4 days. Babies are born with very high adrenal steroids, which are typically take some time to dissipate. They usually take about a month to dissipate. These steroids are higher in babies because they undergo a considerable amount of stress while they're being born. When the Gerber tested the blood of the Ugandan and Kenyan infants, these steroids were gone after 4 days. To add to this, from a very early age, their mothers were very attentive and assisted in teaching their children by encouraging different movements. In other words, as a child moved their legs or arms, their Kenyan and Ugandan parents helped them complete the movement. This led to extremely advanced early learning. Normally, a child can sit up by being held by the arms and not supported by their back at 2 months of age or 8 weeks. And then they can balance their head also without having their head supported. They're able to make eye contact and hold it at 6 to 8 weeks. The Kenyan and Ugandan infants were able to sit up being held by their arms with their head balanced at 2 days of age. And they were able to make prolonged eye contact at this age also. Researchers have concluded that these infants contained accelerated intellectual growth. This level of advancement in African children is not isolated to the African continent. Scholarship has also shown that African American children and other African children in the diaspora also score higher on these early standardized tests of motor and intellectual development. Bailey, 1965, administered tests to 1,409 infants in the United States and found that Black families' children, their infants, scored higher on psychomotor scales, which are intellectual and motor tests for infants, from month 1 through month 14. To add to this, Bailey and others have found that African infants were more advanced in both the ability to solve problems, social development, and in their language development. Likewise, Igbo and Yoruba students have been shown to score higher than whites in London on standardized tests. And this isn't back in the 1960s. This is in the modern era. Their scores consistently came in almost always above their British white counterparts. In fact, the Igbo and Yoruba students, and the Igbo and Yoruba are from Nigeria today, if you're wondering. In fact, the Igbo and Yoruba students often score higher than their Asian counterparts. During 2011 standardized tests in London, London, England, Africans who were fluent in their languages scored higher than their Chinese counterparts. Moreover, the Chinese and Indian students who were significantly wealthier than their Igbo counterparts, as determined by qualification for subsidized meals and free meals still score lower than EBO students. In fact, the best scoring student in England in 2010 was an EBO female student, and her name was Chidera Oda. Chidera Oda scored higher than any of her British, Chinese, or Indian counterparts, and even scored higher than other students who had a competitive advantage, such as those trained in the elite private school at Eton College. In all, she received 15 A's, which outpaced all of her counterparts. One scholar concluded, quote, "The overall conclusion of the study confirms that Black African pupils were more likely to gain good grades above their peers at GCSE, but within this group, there were wide variations." End quote. So it is environment, it is upbringing, it is your socialization, it is the information that you are exposed to that actually leads to how intelligent you are and what you know. But the opposite has been said of African people, and these victorious examples prove the world wrong. As always, we conclude the Real Wakandas of Africa podcast with an original spoken word poetry or hip-hop track by myself, MC Brother Miles, Maurice Miles Martinez. Thank you for listening. What happens when Black people score higher on standardized tests? Will you sit there at your desk and confess to profess there is still some inferior concept of African intellect? Well, Gerber found that Kenyan and Ugandan infants did abound and completed tasks and concepts on the Giselle tests for early intelligence that outscored European infants. When or whence will we understand this misconcept that Black people don't really score lower on standardized tests? When will this intellectual idea that is bent be transformed to the understanding that Igbo and Yoruba students score higher on European tests made for Europeans? I mean, we're not even talking about Dr. King's Dream End, because they are scoring higher than Europeans. I mean, and if this was not Igbo and Yoruba students taking these tests, but the reverse, where whites were scoring higher than Blacks, cats like the bell curve authors Murray and Herrnstein would be saying that the intelligence of Blacks was lower than the intelligence of whites across the board, and trying to give this meaning. But we have now dispelled the very little misconception with facts that whites always score higher on standardized tests than Blacks.
Thank you for listening to the Real Wakandas of Africa podcast. When you have a chance, please pick a copy of my books up from Amazon, The Real Wakandas of Africa, Dr. John Henry Clark vs. Herman Cain, The Great Wall of Africa, The Empire of Benin's 10,000-mile-long wall, The Real Vibranium of Africa, and Akhenaten's Dreams by Maurice Miles Martinez. You can also subscribe to this podcast and become a regular sustaining member by clicking the link in the podcast. You can donate from $1 to $10 per month, and this makes an enormous difference in supporting this podcast and my research. Thank you again for listening to me, MC Brother Miles, Maurice Miles Martinez. I will speak with you next week.